Your text tonight, Luke chapter number 16. I really thought this should be a Sunday morning message, but the Lord don't care what I think about it. And so I want to preach tonight. We know the account of the rich man and Lazarus. And of course, you know this. Every time we use the text, we say this, but there has been a difference of opinion about this being a parable or an actual event. The Lord was speaking in parables all the way through several chapters. And then we have this account of the rich man and Lazarus in verse number 19. Of course, you know that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. God gives a story that will fit our level, and then he makes a spiritual application, makes it bigger, and we understand it. I'm glad God knows how to teach. But in this account, of course, in parables, the Lord never used personal names, ever in a parable. He'd say a certain man, a certain woman. So in this account, he's using actual names. Lazarus, Moses, Abraham. He's using names. So there's no doubt in my mind that this is an actual account. It's not a story that God's trying to teach us about hell. He give us a true story. Now, you remember this before, that Christ died and led captivity captive. So we know that paradise was in the heart of the earth. And then there was the great gulf fix, and we'll read that. And hell was across it. And again, those that were in hell couldn't get to paradise, and those in paradise couldn't get to hell, but somehow or another they could talk to each other. So let's read what you know. The Bible said there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple. Purple is a sign of royalty, and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. He had it made. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. It's amazing he knew him. And send Lazarus, he knew him too, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou that in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, thou wouldest send him to my father's house. I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And Jesus said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's pray. Father, we love you and so thankful for Jesus. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. And Lord, I do ask you, Father, for this message tonight. Lord, in the name of Jesus, please anoint my heart, my mind, and my mouth. Lord, I know you maketh no mistakes. And I pray, Lord, if there's one here or watching that's under the sound of my voice that may be lost, never been saved, I pray this be the message, Lord, that you use to send the Spirit of God to their heart to convict them and convince them that they need to be converted and to be saved. And Lord, I ask you to remove every hindrance and stumbling block. Touch my mind, my heart. Lord, I know my deserve should be hell, but Lord, you showed me mercy. And I thank you for your grace and your mercy and that blood that cleanseth us from all sin. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Why the rich man should have not went to hell. Now, I'm thankful that God makes it clear that it's not his will that any perish, but that all would come to repentance. And so in this account of this rich man, we'll notice some things that he was excuseless. He was given opportunity. He did have an open door of salvation. He did have a way to get to heaven. God provided that way. And so therefore, it was senseless and useless that he died and went to hell. Now, folks, you say, preacher, how does a person go to hell? By rejecting the gift from God, and that is Jesus. Amen. By saying no to the gospel, not believing, not accepting, not repenting, and calling on the Lord. And so we understand that Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That word except in that verse in John 3 means that's the only alternative. There's not 10 ways to heaven. There's not even two ways to heaven. There's only one way to heaven. And I know you know that. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So this rich man will stand before God one day at the white throne judgment without excuse. And everybody that rejects the gospel, says no to Christ, and dies in that condition, in hell, they'll lift their eyes. Now, paradise is empty now. When Jesus died, he went into the heart of the earth and led captivity captive. What did he do? He moved paradise to heaven. When we die in this dispensation, we don't go to the heart of the earth called paradise. We go to heaven. Amen. We go to heaven. Why did they go to paradise? Because the blood hadn't been presented yet. Christ hadn't died and shed his blood and presented it to the Father. You remember when they saw him at the resurrection? They began thronging him. He said, touch me not. I've not yet ascended unto my Father. Yeah. He was going to provide the only perfect sacrifice forever for our sin. And he did that. And when that happened, he led captivity captive. It was in paradise. They couldn't get out because there was a great gulf fixed. And the only place to go was hell. And they couldn't go because the Lord had it fixed. Amen. And the ones in hell couldn't go to paradise because the Lord had it fixed. They couldn't go. Once they ended up in hell, that's where they still are today. Now, there'll come a day at the white throne judgment where the Bible says hell will give up those that are in it. And they'll stand before the white throne judgment of God, and the books will be open. I believe it's the Word of God, the Book of Life, amen, and the Book of Remembrance. This talks about the Book of Remembrance. And those books will be open, and they'll testify against those that rejected Christ. And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. And then the angels of God will bind them hand and foot and cast them into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And so, and by the way, hell will be cast in there too. And so, therefore, that's where they'll spend eternity forever and ever and ever, in a bottomless pit, a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Those that say no to the gospel. Now, folks, there's people that are scoffing that today. They're laughing at that today. They're thinking, well, you got a God that tries to scare you. Folks, again, God is a God of love, and it's not his will that you go there. He went to such extreme to send his only son so you wouldn't go. I mean, he sent his only son to take your sin to the cross and suffer your death. And your shame and your agony, that payment of sin, Christ paid it for us. And for us to reject that. I know there's some that's called Calvinists that don't believe you can reject. If you're going to get saved, that irresistible grace will come and you can't reject. You're going to get saved whether you want to or not. I don't believe that. I believe a man can accept the gospel or a man can reject the gospel. Folks, hell is full of folks that didn't just get picked for the team. They rejected the gospel. Amen. Folks, God said he's no respecter of persons. If God sent some to heaven and some to hell, willed some to heaven, willed some to hell, then somebody can stand in the face of God and say, you showed favoritism. You said you died for the world. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You contradicted your word. We know ain't nobody going to say that. Because at the white throne judgment, hey, they'll see their error. They'll know their error. Hey, folks, I believe one of the most horrible things in hell is a memory. They'll remember every time that the Spirit of God dealt with them, every time somebody invited them to church, every time somebody gave them the gospel, every time somebody tried to lead them to Christ and they said no, run them off, cuss them out, put a gun out, whatever they did. They'll remember all of that, and it'll be in their memory forever and ever and ever. Their memory will be sharp. But anyway, this rich man, here he is. And in this text, I'll give it to you quickly. We go home. We'll see exactly why he shouldn't have went to hell. Notice in verses 19 and the first part of verse number 25. The first reason he shouldn't have went to hell is because of the magnificent goodness of God. If you notice verse number 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Look at verse 25. And Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest good things. Folks, you got to remember, every good gift comes from above, according to the book of James. Everything, he wasn't a self-made man. God was showing his goodness to that man. That's right. Explain God's reasons. We can't. He's God. He's sovereign. He can do what he wants to do. But yet this man, hey, he was shown the goodness of God in his life. The Bible said in Romans 2:4, the goodness of God leadeth men to repentance. That's right. The goodness of God, not the wrath of God. Not the wrath. He didn't say the wrath of God leadeth men to repentance. He said the goodness of God. And God had been good to this man. Very good. I'm talking about he was royalty. I mean, he was clothed in the finest linen and he fared sumptuously. That means he was overloaded, overfilled with good things in his life. And he did not acknowledge that it was God. Right. Folks, again, when the Bible said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, that's a fact, buddy. I didn't write it. Now, I just take that verse literally. I'm not trying to make it some door or that the camel has to get on his knees. That's too hard. I just believe, I think he's meaning an actual eye of a needle. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Why? Because pride. Pride. Pride is the problem. Pride is the issue. Look what I've got. I've accomplished this. I've done that. All these servants, I can't show weakness. And next thing you know, they don't need God. And most time, they don't even think about God. They don't even consider God. And think about it was God that gave. He shouldn't have went to hell because God showed up was good to him. And here's a poor beggar full of sores. And the only comfort he got was his dog licking him. And he ate from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. But he had faith in God. He trusted the Lord. One wasn't in hell because he was rich, and one wasn't in paradise because he was poor. Hey, the one in hell rejected God, and he should not have because God was good to him. Amen. God's been good to all of us. Amen. The Lord's been good to everybody here. Amen. Everybody's, hey, God has been good. There's no excuse. This rich man, hey, he had the magnificent goodness of God in his life. Then notice secondly, look at verse 25 again. Not only did he have the magnificent goodness of God, but also he had the merciful long-suffering of God in his life. Look at verse 25. Notice the three words. And Abraham said, son, remember, listen, that thou in thy lifetime. He had the merciful long-suffering of God. He said, thy lifetime. Folks, that makes me see that not only was God good to him, but he gave him good health. He had a somewhat long life. God's showing him long suffering. I mean, folks, you got to remember, at any time, any of us, God could snap his fingers, we'd be gone. But yet, he said, remember, in thy lifetime, Romans 2:4 says it like this, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, or forbearance and long-suffering, not to know that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Goodness of God. Hey, God's goodness. And so we see God was long-suffering. Bible said, I didn't quote it, God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any perish, but all come to repentance. God is long-suffering to, folks, God dealt with me over a year. The Spirit of God chased me down over a year. I know some, it was even longer than that. Aren't you thankful that he's long-suffering? And then here's Abraham reminding this rich man of all of God's goodness and then how long-suffering God's been with him through his life. Folks, if you don't think God loves sinners, just think about his long-suffering. Just think about his long-suffering. Folks, I've heard these stories for all of my ministry and a good part of my life about aged mamas and that's prayed for a lost son or daughter 40 years, 50 years. And that mama goes, that dies and goes to heaven. And then all of a sudden you hear about that boy getting saved or that daughter getting saved. Folks, you realize that unsaved people don't understand that it's the prayer of God's people for them that I believe sometimes stays the hand of judgment on them. Amen. They're standing in the gap for them. They're pleading the blood over them. Begging God to show them more mercy, give another day. Lord, please don't let my son go to hell. Please don't let my daughter go to hell. And they pray, don't let my husband go to hell. Don't let my wife go to hell. They pray year after year after year after year. And folks, it's them lifting them up to God and God answering their prayer. But one day to come, if they don't get saved, they'll go to hell. This rich man should not have went to hell because of the magnificent goodness of God and also because of the merciful long-suffering of God. Boy, I'm thankful God is long-suffering. Amen. Oh, I'm thankful God is long-suffering. I'm not going to get into my testimony. Everybody, you have a testimony. I have a testimony. And I guarantee you, you can sum it up with God's long-suffering. You see times, if it wasn't for God's mercy and long-suffering, you should have went to hell several times before you got saved. God spared your life. I don't want anybody to raise their hand, but think about it. How many times did you wake up in your car on a Sunday morning and don't remember how you got there? You drove, but you don't even remember how you got there. That's God's long-suffering, merciful long-suffering. How many times was you doing foolish things and could have went out to eternity, but God stayed the hand of judgment on you? Amen. If nothing else, that ought to fire God's people up. Amen. Knowing that, hey, any time in your life, you think about times in your life, it was only the Lord that you didn't go to hell. At that party, taking that stuff, drinking that stuff, doing that feat, whatever it was. And God spared your life. Some of those times you got broke up, was in the hospital, but you never thought about God showing you mercy. The doctor come in and said, hey, if it had been another inch, or just another little bit, your neck would have been broke, or it went through your heart, or whatever. But God stayed it. God stopped it. God said, no, not yet. He's merciful, long-suffering. Amen. He's merciful, long-suffering. I'm thankful for that. God dealt with me a year, and man, he could have sent me to hell any time during that time. But he stayed his hand. He stayed merciful. That's right. Amen. I could be in hell right now, and justly so. But God, who was rich in mercy, Everybody here, you can think back. If you got any age on you at all and had any life that was vile and ungodly, most of us did.
That's right.
But God. And this rich man, his whole life, his lifetime, had good things. God's mercy. It was new every morning for him. God's mercy. And when he begged Abraham to come over there and just give him a, if your lights go out, maybe the power bill's been paid, all right. Just put his finger in water and he said, you already had God's long suffering. You already had God's goodness and God's mercy. Hey, folks, do you understand that what we're seeing in this life, this rich man, God's mercy and grace and long suffering being cut off forever? You and I have never had to live apart from it. And if you're saved, you never will. But think about it. God's been good to you. He's merciful, long-suffering. And your life, he's dealt with you, and he's dealt with you, and he's been long-suffering with you. He's kept your life, your air breathing, your heart pumping. Hey, but one day you keep rejecting. Grace, cut off. Mercy, cut off. Long-suffering, cut off. Peace, cut off. It's gone. This rich man was living in hell without any of that. Notice thirdly, verse 28 and 29. He shouldn't have went to hell because of the magnificent goodness of God, the merciful long-suffering of God, but then he shouldn't have went to hell because of the mighty messengers of God. Look at verse number 28 and 29. He said, for I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. You know what Abraham was saying that he didn't say here? They got the same preachers standing in the same places, carrying the same gospel, proclaiming it all over the place. And if they're going to get to paradise, they're going to have to hear them. He said, just because one rose from the dead, that don't mean they're going to believe. You know what God said? I have an order. I have an order for how you get here. It's during this lifetime. And God has set up messengers, preachers, people to give the gospel. That's why, church, we need to pray that God would enable us to get out of our comfort zone and remove the fear of being witnesses. Do you realize it's never been an accident wherever you are at any time of the day? Wherever you end up, it's not an accident. Well, I took a wrong road and went over here, went over there, and ended up at some store. That's not an accident.
That's right.
Probably a divine appointment.
Hey.
He said, this rich man, he shouldn't have went to hell because he had preachers preaching to him. These men he mentioned, Moses and the prophets, they weren't afraid to tell him because he had money and position. If you study the Old Testament prophets, and that didn't bother them. Moses chose to suffer the affliction of God's people than rather enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Moses wasn't swayed by the money or the prestige of somebody. These prophets wasn't. But the problem was they wouldn't hear him. That's the problem. They wouldn't hear him. He said, let them hear him. Let them hear them. What did he say? Let them hear them. They got what they need. Those men of God's got what your brothers need. They got to hear them. Receive it.
Amen.
But this rich man wouldn't hear him. Folks, how many people don't just simply won't hear the message? They just simply will not hear it. They won't hear it. And if they won't hear it, they can't heed it.
Right.
And they can't get help from it. Notice lastly, and we'll go home. This rich man shouldn't have went to hell because of the magnificent goodness of God, the merciful long-suffering of God, the mighty messenger of God, and the meaningful message of God. Verse number 29. Verse 30, he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." He said, the message of repentance. See, it's either repent or perish. God sent a message. Turn. Repentance is not a second work of grace. It's a change of one's mind that leads to a change of heart and direction. Folks, before I got saved, when the Spirit of God began to deal with my heart, I was walking the course of this life. And He began to deal with me, but I kept walking the course of this life. But the day came, He finally convinced me. He convicted me and finally convinced me. And when He did that, I turned from the course of this life and turned to Christ. That's repentance. It's not some work you got to do to get saved. It's just a complete change of your mind. Folks, I remember wrestling with God in my bed as a 13-year-old boy and wrestling with God, arguing with God, disagreeing with God. I'm all right. But right before daylight, breakthrough come. And I finally saw myself a sinner going to hell. I couldn't get a hold of that. He said, it might have been your age. I don't know what it was, but I know I just couldn't accept that I was a sinner. I couldn't accept that. And that was the only thing that was going to help me get saved, is to accept what I was. And finally, it was like, I kept telling him I was saved because that altar experience I went to when I was 6 years old, it wasn't no conviction. I didn't pray, didn't do anything, got up and said I was saved. And finally the light came on. And I said, I'm going to hell. I'm not saved. And that's when I turned. I turned from what I thought, what I was holding to, my good works, being raised in, all that stuff, all these things about, it was just self-righteous what it was. I didn't realize that's what it was at the time, but that's exactly what it was, self-righteousness. And I got to the end of the rope, God shined a light on it, and I immediately turned, went and got help, I was given the gospel. And I got gloriously saved. Amen. It's been a lot of years ago. But I've never had to go do it again. Amen. It's God settled it in me. Friends, you don't have to try to convince God of your goodness, because He knows you're not good. He knew it so much that He sent Jesus for you. Don't try to convince God about a little spiritless prayer or some type of baptismal certificate or signing a card somewhere. That's not getting you to heaven, friend. You must be born again. You must. Boy, you can study John, Gospel of John chapter 3 and all the must, M-U-S-T's in there. Man, there's a lot of must in there. You must be born again. And if you're sitting here tonight and all you remember is some prayer, you don't remember God dealing with your heart, you don't remember turning to Christ, hey, you don't know anything, hey, none of that happened, you've been slipped a counterfeit. I was. And I'm thankful God cleared that up. Also thankful that my parents put me under the gospel on a church pew. Not kids these days are not getting that privilege. I'm glad many of ours are. That's why moms and daddies, be very mindful to have your kids in the pews.
Amen.
Every time the church doors is open.
Amen.
You never know what God's going to do in their heart at that moment. Friends, you may be here lost today. You try to convince yourself. Maybe you hadn't ever thought about it before till now. The Lord's beginning to cut lights on in your heart. Get it right. Get it right. Let's all stand. Courtney's coming. Thank you for your time. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking on but me and the Lord.